Welcome to the Career Ready Podcast. Learn about resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn, interviewing, and all the things you need to be career ready with the Career Services Center at the College of DuPage. I'm one of your hosts, Michelle Malik, and later in today's episode, you will hear my interview with Angelo Conti, who is the Supervisor of Mail and Warehouse Services at the College of DuPage. He's going to be sharing his tips on the job search process from a hiring manager's perspective.
I'm your other host for today's episode, Pierre Michaels, and I'm going to start our episode with some information about the career-ready competency of professionalism. If you're a longtime listener of the podcast, you may recall we've talked about professionalism in an earlier episode. If you're a newer listener, we like to talk about the NACE competencies. NACE is the National Association of Colleges and Employers, and they look at these core skill sets employers are looking for. And NACE defines professionalism as knowing work environments differ greatly, understand and demonstrate effective work habits, and act in the interest of the larger community and workplace. With the definition, we also have different behaviors that NACE has identified that are associated with professionalism. Today, I want to look at one of the behaviors, and this is listed as maintaining a positive personal brand in alignment with organization and personal career values. There are a few things I want to think about as we break down this behavior. The first component relates to personal brand. As an office and throughout the podcast, you may have heard us refer to professional brand, and your personal brand is right in alignment with this. How are you presenting yourself personally within these professional settings to set a tone that you are someone an employer can value? As we break down presenting a professional brand, I first wanted to talk about it from a job-seeking perspective and how we can present it to an employer. Before we do, Michelle, do you know how long it takes to form a first impression?
Okay, I've always heard that it takes 7 seconds.
Well, that's right on par with the research out there.
Nice.
There's a lot of psychological researches related to this, and the range most commonly is between like 5 and 11 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So when you say 7 seconds, which is what I normally say, that's kind of like cutting it right down the center there, right? Mm-hmm. But this is out of human nature when mm-hmm. those first impressions are being formed.
I think that blows my mind that it's only 7 seconds, and I never understood why.
Yeah, and we think it's quick, but when we think about how we just as humans perceive information, mm-hmm. it's kind of natural. And while it sounds unfair in a job search process, that's how it is.
It's the reality.
Mm-hmm. So now that we know these first impressions are formed so quickly, how can we show our professional brand in this short time? We have to be prepared to present ourselves even without using words. And this brings us back to some of the classic things you will always hear about. A strong handshake, dressing professionally, being very timely or showing up on time or in advance of the interview, and simply presenting yourself confidently. Michelle, do you have any additional tips that help us present ourselves professionally in a nonverbal way?
Yeah, so I'm glad that you mentioned those tips. And I think also, too, we talk about this all the time. So if you're a listener, you already know. but definitely presenting yourself through your resume, through your LinkedIn profile, those are things that you're using to basically sell yourself before you even get to that interview.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, right? The interview is kind of the culmination of all those documents reviewed. So then when they get that idea of us, because that resume, that application only gets us to the interview. The interview is going to get us the job. So this first impression is going to be a really important component of that. So as we think of presenting ourselves for the job search and then moving forward with our personal brand on the job, dress, timeliness, confidence are all important things here too. But they also tie into the second part of this behavior that really aligns with the organization's values. And what I mean by that is when we are working for an organization, when we're hired to be part of that organization, we are now a representative of that company. As employees, we are the ones engaging with clients and customers and conveying what the organization represents. As we present ourselves professionally, we are being an ambassador for the company. And this is why employers value it so much. It's not just the on-the-job professionalism, but it is the professionalism that is conveying to the greater community. And that's why this is one of those core values that NACE has identified. So now that I've highlighted some ideas of professionalism, as we listen to Michelle's interview with a hiring manager, I want you to pay attention to how he may be looking for professionalism or how he's interpreting professionalism through his work.
Hello to all of our listeners. Today we have a hiring manager with us who will share their tips on approaching the job search process. Angelo Conti is the supervisor of mail and warehouse services at the College of DuPage, who will be providing guidance to our listeners. Angelo, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Hey, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So we're going to get started with our first question. Can you provide a quick introduction for us, or as we would like to call it, your elevator pitch?
Sure. So I've been with the college roughly. It's going to be 10 years this August. I had the privilege of hiring roughly seven people since I've been here. I have an extensive background in warehousing, manufacturing. I've hired hundreds of people over my career. So I pride myself on being able to have a good judge of character.
That's awesome. We're so excited to have you here. And it sounds like you have a lot of experience and great things to share with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So our next question that we have for you is, what is your role as a hiring manager?
Sure, Michelle. Keep in mind, hiring is not my main function as a manager, so it does take a lot of time out of my day. So it's definitely important, obviously, for candidates to be prepared. The whole process that we have to go through, we have to go into our hiring software through Cornerstone and put in actual rec, which gets submitted to HR, who actually goes through a process on their end to actually submit the actual, you know, job criteria online before it actually gets posted. Has a string of signatures and that sort of thing he has to go through. But once that's completed and I start to get actual, you know, responses from the ad, then that's when I'll actually start reviewing applicants.
So it sounds like HR is where everything gets started. They give you recommendations and give you the candidates. And then from there, you're able to look at those resumes and ask people in for interviews.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. They put it into the actual hiring software and it drops down and I'm able to pull from that software the actual resumes and applications. I can print them out.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. And I think it's good for our listeners to know the difference between what HR does and what a hiring manager does. So I'm glad you were able to explain that process.
Sure. Put out the actual paper, you know, review or whatever for, you know, it goes online or they do the scrapes and whatnot, goes to Indeed and all that good stuff. So I start that process and that's how I get the ball rolling.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So basically, once that happens, then, you know, then they will drop names and stuff in Cornerstone for me to review. Then I'll go through the actual applications and resumes and then start bringing people in.
Wonderful. So it sounds like HR gets the process started, then they hand it off to you. You look at the candidates and that's when you start scheduling interviews, looking at resumes and things like that.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Wonderful. So when reviewing resumes, what would make you stop and read one?
Well, once I get them, I look at all of them. But I'm looking for, you know, gaps. I don't want to see a lot of gaps in history. I'm looking for the experience that they bring to the table. How's you know, their experience going to add to what we're looking for? You know, things of that nature. You know, the true you know, value of actually bringing a person on is going to come in the interview process, but it's a first step in actually identifying the candidate.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned gaps, too, because I feel like a lot of our clients and students ask about those gaps, so I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, it's important to kind of keep that in mind. I know a lot of people, sometimes they go through like temp agencies and whatnot, and sometimes it's, you know, if it's going to cause more of a problem in a resume to show, you know, a gap or to show a short period of time, sometimes I say leave them out. It just depends on your particular situation.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And we do usually say with gaps in the resume, if it is only a job that you've done a few months, maybe taking that out or leaving it out, but then also being prepared to share why there is a gap too with that employer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So similarly, when you are doing interviews with candidates, what are you paying close attention to?
Oh, yeah. This is the fun stuff. Yeah. actually getting in front of the candidate. I enjoy interviewing people. You know, seeing the actual candidate, you can kind of get a feel for them. You're basically looking at how they carry themselves, how they respond to your questions. You know, do they ask questions? Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to get a feel for if they're going to be a good fit for what you have to offer.
Yeah. So when you are with those candidates, what types of characteristics are you looking for, or what kind of stands out to you when you have someone who's representing themselves professionally?
Yeah. So I think it's important to have good eye contact. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I tend to ask like behavior questions. I think it's important to be prepared. When you come to an interview, you may not have exact answer to everything, but, you know, try to spin any negative to a positive. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the more prepared you are, the better you're going to look. Mm-hmm. You know, remember, it's all about selling yourself.
Right. Yeah, we always say that. You always want to sell yourself. And I think you bring up a good point about preparing yourself, right? So like researching the company, prepping some interview questions so that when you do go into that situation, you're confident.
Yeah, absolutely. I will always say it's a good idea to hop online, you know, research the company, find out what their mission statement is, or their, you know, anything about the company, find out what some of those, I call them buzzwords are, that you could kind of like drop in, use in the interview. You know, sometimes those kind of things go a long way. You know, it sparks their interest. Oh, he knows about this, or he knows about that, you know, so.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a way to impress the company or the employer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good way to impress them.
Wonderful. So when reviewing and meeting with candidates, how can they improve the way that they present themselves professionally to hiring managers?
So I know we've kind of gotten away from this a lot in when we interview, but I've always go by the standard of like dressing for success. I always tell people, you know, don't be afraid to dress up. Mm-hmm. If I see a candidate and they're dressed up, it tells me they're serious about wanting to make a good impression. So for me, as a hiring manager, I'm going to be impressed by them taking the time and the effort to dress up. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. So those are going to be some of the things that I'm going to be looking for. Like I said, you know, good eye contact and a firm handshake, things of that nature. And just, you know, like I said, being prepared.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So what about students? What can they be doing now to help them become strong candidates for a job and or internship opportunities?
Yeah, it's a little harder for students because they may not have the actual experience. So I always say, like, you know, put together like a folder or anything of that you can show projects, or if you were involved in like church organizations where maybe you had a specific sale, something where you're in charge of, anything that you can show maybe that you know, you had some value. You want to be able to, you know, put that together so somebody could kind of like page through and see the different things that you did, just to kind of give them a sense of who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little harder because you may not have a lot of experience, but keep in mind, you started that book. So as you grow and as things happen throughout your life and that experience you get, you can just add to that book.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And bringing that to an interview, whether it be for a job or an internship, it sounds like that would be helpful. And like you said, it would allow the student to kind of display their skills.
Absolutely. But, you know, even like if it's a school project or mm-hmm. a college project that they worked on and there was a multitude of students and maybe they took the lead role. I mean, you know, document that, maybe have some pictures of a completed project, whatever you need to do to sell yourself and to show the finished product is going to go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that goes back to when we talk about transferable skills, too, because I think a lot of times students, they don't know that they can talk about school and the things that they've done in school in that interview or on their resume. So we're always telling students and clients to highlight that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes perfect sense to do everything that you possibly can to sell yourself.
Mm-hmm. So the last question we have are there any other tips or advice that you would like to add?
I would say that, you know, when you're in the interview, ask questions, do your due diligence when going to the interview. Make sure that you're as prepared as you possibly can. Remember that you're there to sell yourself. It's not a bad situation if you don't get the job. Take it as experience. Mm-hmm. So do everything you possibly can to send the positive message to the hiring manager. So, you know, like I said, go online, research the company. There's a lot of questions online that can help tutor you through some of the questions that they might be asking. Again, you might not get everyone, but hey, if you get some of them, you'll know how to answer them. So it's a plus.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part about an interview is you really don't know what you're going to be asked. But when you do practice those questions, you're able to think of scenarios. So even if an employer is asking you a different question, you still have those experiences to pull from.
Absolutely. You want to show that you're interested in the company. So, you know, ask, do they offer tours? You know, you want to learn about the company. And anything that you can learn about the company is going to be it's going to show that you have interest in it. Mm-hmm. So
I was just going to say the tours, I didn't even think about that, like calling a company and asking if you could get a tour of their facility. Or
even when you're in the interview, throughout my career, I've been in interviews and I've, as part of the interview process, have taken tours.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I think there's nothing wrong with asking for a tour while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for all of this great information. We really enjoyed having you on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Michelle, what a great interview with Angelo there.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we were able to interview a hiring manager because I know we interviewed someone from HR, probably our first season. So I think it's good to see the differences between what both of them do and then get the hiring manager's perspective too.
Yeah, as Angelo described in his interview, hiring really isn't the main part of his job, right? It's just something that he has to do when he's set to hire someone. He said he's been here with COD for 10 years, hired like 7 people, mm-hmm. A lot of experience outside of that. So he's got a whole nother job. And then when it comes time to hire, it's just an added piece. So I hope our listeners realize that that's important mm-hmm. thing to realize, because then when we're going through that job seeking process, we have to be very respectful of these people's time and how they're going through that process, because it's taking away from all the other work they should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a lot of time and effort on their end. So definitely when candidates are coming in for interviews, even when they're creating their resume, they do need to be professional and make sure they're putting their best foot forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So as he was talking about that, putting their best foot forward, like he said early on that he thinks he's a good judge of character,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was something that stood out to me. Like he included that in his introduction as a hiring manager for a reason, right? When you're hiring people, you are hiring people based off of their character and what they're really representing as a professional and what they're bringing to the team. So I think that is a very simple way for all of us to be thinking about how can I perform better in an interview, better in the job search, just to think about what kind of character am I presenting?
Mm-hmm. And I think it was important, too, that he mentioned dressing professionally and having a strong, firm handshake, eye contact. I think when we do get nervous, those are some of the things that we may forget or we don't think of in the moment. So I'm glad he pointed that out, that that is important to him as a hiring manager.
Yeah, to show that seriousness as you're seeking out the opportunity. Yeah, like our nerves or something may, limit our ability to do some of these things in the moment, making eye contact, whatever. But, dressing professionally, that is something that we could plan out ahead. Mm-hmm. The handshake, being able to give a good handshake does set a tone very early on as far as why we're here and being able to present ourselves professionally.
Mm-hmm. I also really liked when he was talking about what students can do to help them be prepared for interviews by making a portfolio. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, being able to share that information is always important, and knowing your background. So maybe your line of work doesn't align to having a portfolio, but at least being able to talk about the past experiences, past work that you've done. So you're not pulling together a portfolio that shows your work. But if you could at least talk about how you have applied yourself and showing your value, I think is really important.
Yeah, and I definitely think it could make you stand out in an interview, too. And I feel like it would, the reason I say it would make you stand out is because I feel like most candidates wouldn't have that portfolio, depending on the industry, obviously. But I feel like it could set someone apart from other candidates who didn't bring physical examples in.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Something else that he mentioned that I think is important, and I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this because there's a few ways you can interpret it, but he said, spin a negative to a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really important point or mindset to have, because when we're going into that interview or as we're presenting our information, we can't be perfect people. Mm-hmm. And we have to show that we learn from this. So being able to say that I went through this negative situation and because of that, I'm a better person, or I, did this and I've been able to, apply these things I learned from it. And now I'm producing these types of results. So instead of going in and just emphasizing, oh, this is a negative point, or this is something that I struggled with, but then being able to say, despite this, I've been able to overcome it, or I've been able to work through it and really show strengths as a result of that hardship, I think can be a good way to really help us stand out in that interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, because I think I've mentioned this before in the podcast. We probably talked about something similar, but employers are not looking for perfect people. We're not perfect, so when we do make a mistake or we, like you said, do go through a hardship, it's important to show how we're working through that, because we can use that information for the position we're applying to if we get that job.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. Thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for the interview.
Thank you to all of our listeners, and special thanks to Angelo for joining us on the podcast today. We hope that you've learned how to prepare yourself for the job search process with these tips from a hiring manager. Be sure to join us for our next episode, where we'll talk about salary negotiations.